happens. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump and French President Macron meeting at the White House agreed that the war in Ukraine must end. CBS's Ed O'Keefe reports.
So no firm resolution today, but an important meeting that had to happen, that Europe was eager to see happen. And Macron can go back to France and to Europe more broadly now and say, at least for now, the United States is still engaged.
The Office of Personnel Management is now telling government agency heads that their workers are not required to respond to an Elon Musk message demanding they explain their recent accomplishments or risk getting fired. CBS's Finn Gomez.
It's up to the agency heads to decide how to implement this Musk rule. And that it also doesn't necessarily mean that anyone needs to resign afterwards.
Pope Francis remains in critical condition at a hospital in Rome, but as CBS's Chris Livesay reports, there has been some good news.
The Vatican says Pope Francis's condition has slightly improved, and the kidney issue discovered over the weekend is not a cause for concern.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Adams County snowmobile trails join the growing list of closures. Here's Brittany Merlot with more.
With the warm weather in Wisconsin this week and snowmobile trails already running with minimal snow over the weekend, trails are now closed in many counties, including Marathon, Portage, Taylor, Wood, Lincoln, and Langlade.
The Wisconsin DMV is warning of a rise in online vehicle fraud. The number of online vehicle scams have increased recently. The scheme starts as a fake online storefront. The website or social media profile claims to be a Wisconsin dealership. You'll see stock images or photos of real vehicles, and real Wisconsin dealerships are included to make things seem legitimate. Advertised vehicles may be listed at below market value to make interested customers take the bait. Another warning signal is no in-person contact with the seller. The Wisconsin DMV is aware of multiple cases that follow this pattern. Sometimes the scammer interacts with the customer by phone or email, but after they receive the money by wire transfer, all contact stops. WisDOT has recommendations to help you avoid scammers. If you're the victim of a scam, you can file a dealer complaint along with other actions to protect your credit and information. Find out more at wisconsindmv.gov. Wisconsin Rapids Public School Elementary Art Show will be on display at McMillan Memorial Library. Beginning on Thursday, February 27th, you can see artwork by area elementary school students at the library. The display will run from February 27th through April 1st. There's a blood drive today at the former East Junior High School in Wisconsin Rapids. The Community Blood Center will be accepting donations from 2 to 7 p.m. at 311 Lincoln Street in Room 111. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks winning with backups. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks won at home 120-113 over the Miami Heat. They head to Houston today to play the Rockets tomorrow night. Damian Lillard has been limited with a hamstring injury and marveled how backup guard Kevin Porter Jr. took over the game after being traded here from the Clippers.
I think, first of all, it was fun to watch. I think when you are a star in this league, a lot of times the weight of the game shifting is on you. KP scoring, from being able to see him since he was in high school to college to even, you know, his time in the NBA. I've seen him many times have huge nights.
Kevin Porter Jr., nicknamed Scoot, on what it's been like since he arrived in Milwaukee.
As soon as I came in here, I felt very welcome. And that's big. That's huge. Especially when you got people like Giannis, Dame, Doc, a winning organization, you know, the fan base, you know, how Milwaukee has welcomed me. And it's been beautiful, honestly. So I'm blessed to be where I'm at.
That's Bucks guard Kevin Porter Jr. with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Join us on the next Midday Magazine in part one as we welcome the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, and in part two, the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. It's 4 to 5 on 97.5 FM WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, maybe a stray sprinkle or shower, and a low in the upper 20s. Partly sunny and staying mild for tomorrow, high mid-40s. Another rain chance Tuesday night and Wednesday. Temps will stay much above average through the rest of the week. Right now it's 48.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Tracy Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our old friend Luke Mathers is back for a Tuesday tangent with Lukester. We'll find out what's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy still not convinced computers are here to stay, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, folks. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. A tropical, almost balmy day here in Wisconsin today. Coming up at 7:20, Chad Franker will be here. A local boy done good from Marinette, Wisconsin, who created a business called Meal with a Friend. It's a great community builder and helps combat loneliness. Chad will be here in studio in just a few minutes to talk about that. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite chip? It is International Tortilla Chip Day, but we expanded the topic to hopefully draw more exciting answers than just tortilla chips. So join us in your love of chips. Let us know what you're thinking. And as always, you can comment on anything we're talking about here tonight at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. All right, my guest right now, we have a few more minutes with our guest, Mariah Gates. Her book is out tomorrow. It's called Cinema Her Way, Visionary Female Directors in Their Own Words. You can buy it in bookstores, online. There will be signed copies available soon. That's exciting. Mariah, I wanted to ask you, you list a lot of the directors that you talk to in the book and that you write about. I have to admit, I haven't heard of many of them, but I've always been kind of just in awe of Kathryn Bigelow. She is such a phenomenal director, and she directs films that typically, or stereotypically, you might say, guys, it seems like, direct. They're Hurt Locker, Point Break. I didn't even know she did that in 1991. I think that was her first major Hollywood studio film. Zero Dark Thirty. I really liked the movie Detroit, and I didn't even realize she directed it until I was watching the credits. Where does she rank on your list of not just female directors, but directors? She's had a pretty incredible career.
Yeah, I think she has definitely been an influence. A lot of the people I've interviewed, not for the book, but for my column, have cited her as one of the reasons they knew women could make films, or an example of the kind of films they would like to do and didn't necessarily think they could, but they saw her do it. And so they're like, okay, I can do this too. So I think she's definitely been an important figure in terms of visibility of women directing films and of women directing films that make a really big wave. Obviously, she was the first woman to win Best Director at the Oscars. And since then, there have been several and a lot more women nominated. I think she was only the fifth to ever be nominated. So Jane Campion, who is in the book, was the first woman ever to be nominated twice for Best Director. I think it'll be really wonderful when that statistic changes and we have multiple women with multiple nominations, the same way we do with men. So I think she definitely broke a really big glass ceiling with the Hurt Locker. Unfortunately, it seems like every once in a while they try to put a new glass ceiling up, but I don't think that will be successful.
I want to ask you about the Oscars, but I want to ask you, who in your book, Cinema Her Way, who did you enjoy talking to the most?
Oh, I mean, it was Gillian Armstrong. Not to dismiss all the other women who are amazing, but Gillian Armstrong directed Little Women, which is my favorite movie and has been my favorite movie since I was 8 years old, which is 30 years. And it was, I can't even believe she said yes. I literally screamed. So, and she talked to me for 3 hours and she talked to me about the most minute things. She's like, you have seen this movie too many times. I'm like, yes, I have. Please answer my question. So it was as wonderful as all the conversations were, it was really surreal to talk to the person who made a movie that I've, you know, loved like on a molecular level for 30 years, you know.
That's so great. All right. So we have a few minutes left. What are your thoughts? Do you have a best picture favorite in the Oscars? Did the SAG Awards do anything for you?
In a perfect world, I feel like Nicol Bolas should have been nominated for every Oscar.
Wow.
I wish Jomo Frey had been nominated for his cinematography. I think Nicol Bolas is head and shoulders above everything that came out, like literally everything that came out last year. However, of the ones that did get nominated, I do think Anora is probably going to sweep. I think mostly because The Brutalist is really long and I don't know that everyone's going to sit through the 3 hours or they're going to think it doesn't deserve to be 3 hours. Anora is nice and brisk. It does a lot of interesting things with tone. It really lands it. I think it's been winning so many. It won the DGA and the PGA. One surprise that I think might happen, especially because it won the SAG Ensemble, is because they, for Best Picture, they do a weighted ballot. I do think Conclave is going to be like a lot of people's number two or number three, and that could potentially make it the winner. That's what I think what happened with Spotlight about 10 years ago, where no one saw Spotlight winning. But I think what happened was it was probably a lot of people's number two, and that adds up. The weighted ballot is really, or the preferential ballot is really why you get a film like in the Spotlight year, Mad Max won, I think, like 6 Oscars, and then Spotlight won Best Picture because of the chaos of a preferential ballot. So I think you could see Conclave come out, but I think Anora is probably the safest, like, sweep.
So you think Anora is a safe bet. How did you feel about Anora?
I really love that Sean Baker is a filmmaker who was able to follow the old school path. His very first film premiered at Slamdance, which is the micro indie film festival. Mm-hmm. And then his most recent film won the Palme d'Or. And I don't know that that's a path any filmmaker gets to have anymore. I think because of the financing and economics of filmmaking has changed so much. So I think it's a real, I don't want to say like a career capper because he's a young man and is going to probably make another 40 years worth of films, but he's put in 20 years of like consistently good work. And I think it would be a really great thing to see him really just sweep this year.
You know, it's so weird. Like I saw Anora when all the hype was around it. Florida Project, which I just saw about 3 months ago, is one of my all-time favorite movies. Yeah. I think it's a masterpiece. I like Tangerine. I liked Red Rocket. But Anora, I liked, but I don't think I liked it. Best Picture liked it because I don't know. It's just a weird thing. But then I noticed that Conclave, and I saw this statistic recently, the films that win Best Ensemble at the SAG Awards, something like 26 of the last 30 years have won Best Picture at the Oscars.
Yeah.
So I feel like
that really has to do with two things. One, the last 15 years with the preferential ballot, and two, the fact that the actors make up the largest percentage of the Academy, the actors branch.
Okay.
And so the in terms of the how many actors are in SAG that are also part of the Academy, that number is a lot larger than, say, the number of directors who are in the DGA who are also Academy members. You know, so the correlation is a lot higher. And again, I do very much think Conclave is going to be probably some people's number one, but it's going to be on a lot of people's number two, number three. And I think that's going to add up because it's such a crowd pleasing film.
Right. It's so weird.
As far as I know, nobody hates it. Like some of these films people hate, right? And so it's going to be all at the bottom.
Yes. The substance.
Film, I don't know anyone who hates Conclave. I think everyone at minimum thinks it's a fun film.
I feel the same about
really helpful.
A Complete Unknown. Like I really liked it. I thought it was a really solid film. And I like Conclave, but I was talking to someone recently that said, well, the big twist at the end, I mean, come on, what are they doing? I'm like, that's what made it a great film for me. Like, I just thought it was okay and well acted until that. That to me.
Yeah. And then it's very unexpected.
Yeah.
For how pulpy the rest of the film was. Yeah. And they pull it off.
Yeah. And I haven't seen Nickel Boys, I'm Still Here, or The Brutalist yet because I live in kind of a remote area. But I probably will pay the $20 to watch Nickel Boys on my TV based on what you just said.
If you can at some point somehow see it in the theater, or listeners, if you haven't seen it yet and you want to see it in a theater, that one is such a special experience and so immersive. And I think truly innovative in a way that once you see it, you'll see what I mean. And I don't think any other film in terms of artistry and innovation can touch that film. But obviously artistry and innovation isn't always what ends up being Oscar voters' favorite thing. You know, I think it's a beautiful film. And it's not, I think a lot of people maybe are afraid because the subject matter is heavy, but it's not a heavy film. It's a really beautiful, empathetic film that is about the persistence of joy and the persistence of just life. It's an extraordinary film.
I'm so excited to see it now. One other film I wanted to ask you about. Emilia Perez, 13 nominations. Did they totally lose it with the Twitter scandal? Are they done?
I think they did. Yeah. That's a film that was very divisive. I think not with older voters. I feel like a lot of older viewers really loved the film. And I think a lot of younger viewers are more, I think, perhaps aware of the various ways that film is not, shall we say, as progressive as it seems. Mm. There's a lot of trans writers have written about why it's actually a regressive film.
Oh, wow.
A lot of Mexican writers have written about how it's really a terrible version of their country. It does them no favors. But I don't know that a lot of voters cared about any of that, you know, because they love the film and they don't care about criticism. And that's perfectly fine. That is, you know, they don't have to read criticism to enjoy a film. That's, you know, it's everyone's prerogative. I personally did not like that film.
I
did not understand. Specifically, the nomination that is the wildest to me is cinematography, because I think it's a garish film.
It's a weird looking film. Yeah.
I don't think visually it works. Whereas when you see Nickel Boys, I think you'll see what I mean about Joe Mofray, who did the cinematography. I think he is a poetic filmmaker and an emotional filmmaker and does something with the camera that is so unique. And he's won almost every other award. It's really weird. He got the American Society of Cinematographers Award. He got the Independent Spirit. It's, I think, the biggest snub that came out of the Oscar nomination thing. It's baffling that he didn't get that nomination. I think he'll probably get nominated for his next film, whatever that ends up being, because he's another consistently great innovative filmmaker. But I think maybe, I don't know about what's going on with the cinematography brand.
It'll be interesting to see what happens either way. The book is called Cinema Her Way, Visionary Female Directors in Their Own Words by Mariah Gates. You can find it in bookstores tomorrow or online. I'm sure it will be just as outstanding as everything Mariah writes. So much fun having you on the show all the time. Good luck with the book.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's talk soon.
All right.
Mariah Gates. Coming up next, Chad Franker, a young man from Marinette, Wisconsin, a place I call my hood. He's got a great new business that helps combat loneliness. We're going to talk to Chad about that because I thought it was really inspiring. And we'll read your texts and all kinds of fun stuff. Who knows? Maybe Conrad will do a little soft shoe. Did you bring the cane and the hat?
I did not.
Oh, come on, man. You're killing me.
I forgot it in my car.
Yeah, likely story.
I'll just have to run out there quick.
All right, we're coming right back on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Someone's living for her love, and I love her, and I love her, I love her.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
Wisconsin Women's Basketball brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, and streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
There's a problem with Heather's iron bargain.
Welcome back. We have a great question tonight. It's International Tortilla Chip Day. Everything has a day. And we are putting the question out. What is your favorite chip? You don't have to limit it to a tortilla chip, folks. What is your favorite chip? Conrad's dad checked in. I love this. Oh, no, it wasn't your dad that said this. Although your dad said Taco Doritos. He says, the Taco Doritos will always be dear to my heart. But my new favorite chip is made by UTZ, the crab chip with Chesapeake Bay crab seasoning. You can't just eat just one.
I'll attest to that. Those are really good.
I don't think I've ever heard of those.
Yeah, maybe it's just a Florida thing. I don't know, but I only saw it when I went down there to visit them once, and those things were good.
All right. Did I miss, pardon me, no, I got that one. Okay, so let's go to, from the 608, or I'm sorry, from the 818, Bridget says, salted potato chips with ranch dip. Interesting, that's the first dip suggestion we've heard. You could just buy ranch chips, right? They have potato chips with ranch
flavor. Not the same.
All right, fair enough.
Have you heard of any... hummus?
Listen, dude, I love hummus.
Yeah.
That is the voice of my next guest. Chad Franker is here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about a really cool business Chad has created. He's about to launch it. What is your favorite chip, Chad?
Well, I would say something that has health consciousness.
See, all right, I admire that, but yeah. That's what I was going for too at first, and then I realized if I'm going to eat chips... I'm not thinking about health. I've seen you at the gym. I see how hard you work, too. So I appreciate the health thing. But AJ from the 608 says, hey, Pete, if you can find them, Lil Baby's brand of wrap snacks are out of this world. His flavor is salt. And is that supposed to be Lil Baby Ray's?
No, it's Lil Baby.
Okay. She says AJ says his flavor is salt and vinegar, barbecue, onion, garlic, and more. Yes, all together in one chip. Now, that sounds like a taste explosion in your mouth. And Kenneth chimed in on the film Green and Gold. So if you have an opinion on that film, I finally saw it last night. Did you see Green and Gold, Chad?
No.
Okay. Are you a Packer fan? Yeah. And you like farming? Not to do for yourself, maybe, but just in general, it's a good thing. Chad doesn't really see the necessity for farming, so that's okay. All right, from the 608, Steady Eddie checking in. He says, Pete, Conrad, love chips, but we all know eating chips is not quite as bad as smoking cigarettes. The snack food manufacturers want you addicted. They don't care about your health. They want your money. Steady Eddie, come on.
Big business wants our money. Get out of here. He says, that being said, chips are delicious, if not nutritious. I like nacho cheese Doritos the best. I have a strategy where I buy 2 1-ounce bags of chips when I shop at the grocery store. That way, when I get home, I can eat 2 whole bags of Doritos and not feel too guilty. It works for me. And then in all caps, sometimes, happy tortilla chip day. Steady, hold the cheese dip, Eddie. Thank you, Steady Eddie. Keep those texts coming, folks. It's fun. Chips are fun. What's not to like about chips?
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing, exactly. All right, I'm going to bring in my next guest here. I'm excited because this guy is from my hometown and where I live right now, Marinette, Wisconsin. He made the drive to be here in the studio because he has a new business that he is launching called Meals with a Friend. And it's a great idea. I absolutely love this. Chad, tell us about Meals with a Friend and tell us when it'll be officially launched.
Well, Meals with a Friend is, we're in the early beginning stages where we trying to get volunteers lined up with people who are experiencing loneliness and isolation. And the pandemic was the first indicator of how loneliness and isolation can impact the cognitive health and the mental health and a whole slew of things.
Right.
Yes.
You really did your homework. I saw where you did all this research. And is what you learned about the pandemic what gave you the idea for this business?
So when I was 16 years old, I got hit by a truck and suffered a traumatic brain injury. Mm-hmm. So I've always known of the helping profession where all community can help build and help aid someone to be better. And,
right.
Yes. And so, I mean, then I, when I was in school to get a bachelor's of science in psychology and human development, I did an internship with the Hospice Advantage, and I was with hospice clients.
Okay.
And I sat with people that were near dead, that passed away.
Hmm.
And I say that reluctantly because I loved it that the families respected me enough to sit with their loved ones.
Right.
But they allowed me to give that to them. So, and
you saw how much it impacted.
Yes.
And
how that could impact the love of the, how they didn't want to have the final idea of their loved one so bedridden.
Right. Yes. You talked about that too, and we'll get into this more after the news, but how community and people being there for you after your accident helped you heal and get to a place where you could create meals with a friend. Yeah. So we'll talk about all of that. Chad Franker is my guest. He is a fellow, he's from my hood. He's a fellow Marinette native. And don't let the fact that I remember hearing about that accident, but you should see this guy at the gym. I wish I worked half as hard or broke half the sweat you break because I see how hard you work. So we'll talk more with Chad about his new cool business called Meals with a Friend, a business that is just such a great idea to help others who are feeling lonely. We'll talk more about the nuts and bolts of the business and get to know Chad a little bit more after. Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. It's Beach Waba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to locally grown radio WFHR. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Making history for African Americans, women, and STEM professions, our Black History Month feature today is on Katherine Johnson. Here's Lisa Hale.
Called a human computer for her mathematical capabilities, Criolla Katherine Johnson was critical to the success of the first manned space flights in the United States. Johnson's work was made famous by the movie Hidden Figures, which took a Hollywood look at her work on the Project Mercury space flights, including those for Alan Shepard and John Glenn. She calculated trajectories, launch windows, and return paths.
Okay, so that puts your landing zone at 5.0667 degrees north, 77.3333 degrees west, which is here. Right here.
At a time when America was rife with racial tension and many areas of the South were segregated, Johnson's work at NASA was crucial to the historical moon missions. She went on to shape America's space shuttle program as well. She spent her later years encouraging students to enter science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, or STEM fields. In 2015, President Barack Obama awarded her the Presidential Medal of Freedom. She was given the Congressional Gold Medal in 2019. When she died on February 24, 2020, NASA's Administrator Jim Bridenstine called her an American hero. In 2021, she was posthumously inducted into the National Women's Hall of Fame. For furthering space exploration, encouraging and inspiring students, and serving as a pioneering example of African-American women in STEM fields, Katherine Johnson is not a hidden figure, but a historical figure for Black History Month.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Trust fund kid Elon Musk has drawn a lot of political criticism lately, but now he's under fire for being a bad parent from his own father. Errol Musk appeared on the Wide Awake podcast and said that his son will probably shoot him for saying this, but Elon is not a good father. This comes after rumors that Musk had fathered a 13th child, somehow with 16 women. Should probably fact check that. It's important to note that just a couple years ago, Errol Musk admitted to having a second child with his stepdaughter, who was only 4 years old when he married the child's mother, according to Rolling Stone. Errol and the girl's mom have two children of their own, as Musk apparently wanted his future baby mama to have playmates. For the record, Rolling Stone also reported that Elon Musk is not a fan of his father. He called him a terrible human being who has done every evil thing or crime you could possibly imagine, which is probably why they decided not to have kids together. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, maybe a stray sprinkle or shower, and a low in the upper 20s. Partly sunny and staying mild for tomorrow, high mid-40s. Another rain chance Tuesday night and Wednesday. Temps will stay much above average through the rest of the week.
Right now it's 48.
The Todd Allbush Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Pat Kreitlow.
If you are feeling discombobulated lately, have I got the guy for you. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area is filling in for me on Tuesday.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
spotlight. We had Mike Starr, the actor from Goodfellas and Dumb and Dumber schedule. Mike had to reschedule because he has a work commitment, which often happens with actors. You have to take the money when you get it. But Mike is awesome. I cannot wait to have him on the show. But in the meantime, we have more awesomeness filling in. Dr. Kristen Lierley will be joining us from Minnesota over the stream. I always have fun with Kristen. She's definitely a nightlight frequent flyer. And then mob expert and urban legend expert Bob Dennis will be here in the studio. So lots of fun guests coming up this week. Jamie McShane will be here from the show 1923. Rich Talarico from Key and Peele. And, of course, Bar Band Friday Night on Friday. So a fun week on Nightlight here. So great to have you with me, folks, wherever you're joining us from. We are broadcasting live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay, especially beautiful. Was it still warm out? Sort of?
Yes.
Getting a little colder? Okay. But a gorgeous night here in the state of Wisconsin. What better way to celebrate good weather than to sit inside and listen to the radio, folks, and talk about the things that make us happy, like movies and TV and a really cool new business that my current guest created. Chad Franker is here. He's a Marinette native. The business is called Meals with a Meals with a Friend. Chad, I got lost because I wrote my note down here. It's a meal with a connection.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
All right. Tell us about Meals with a Friend in case people are just joining us.
Okay. Well, Meals with a Friend is where we pair volunteers with people who or families that are worried about their loved ones and they're just missing that connection piece because as the pandemic has shown, loneliness and isolation is the silent pandemic. No one really talks about it.
Interesting.
But it's like blaring in your eyes and people still don't talk about it. Like they don't talk about how depressed they are or sad they are.
And yeah.
All they need to do is just talk to someone and interact.
Right. And you have an interesting, in this package you have, you haven't quite launched the business yet, but you're getting close. You talk about how loneliness affects people's cardiovascular and neurological makeups.
Yes.
Explain that a little bit. That's fascinating.
Well, okay. So loneliness and isolation, they did a study. They did a study in the University of Michigan, and they did a six-year longitudinal study where they showed that equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
How is that possible? That's insane.
Well, ask the researchers. I mean,
I know you didn't do the research.
No, but
that's amazing, though.
Yeah, and
so 15 just from loneliness. So here's what I think this is so great, and this is why I wanted to have Chad on the show, because there are so many lonely people out there that you don't know about because they're lonely.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not out there. They're not putting themselves out there. Let me ask you this, though, Chad. I don't know if you thought about this. Like, you pair people up together.
Yep.
What if they sit down and try to make a connection through a meal? It's called Meal with a Friend. Yep. What if a fist fight breaks out? Do you anticipate anything like that? Two people throwing down?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it almost happened between us, right?
Were you going to take a swing at me when you walked in here? I didn't realize.
Yeah, sure. So, but anyways.
You're still with someone, though. It's still not loneliness, so
no,
that's good.
No, okay. But, and we try to pair, because we're so new at this. I mean, we'll eventually create a website, website that people can log in and where they can actually say, hey, I want to have a meal with someone who plays, who's an outdoorsman or have a volunteer.
Like they have something in common.
Yes.
Yeah, nice.
They come in thread. And the other service that we provide is like a wellness check. And a wellness check is something where like the person goes into their house and they just make sure that everything is kosher and they're not going to like do any trip hazards or anything that's going to be problematic in the future.
What was there something that gave you this idea? Like something that is there something that put this on the map for you? Like you said, I have to do something about this. Like when did you notice so many lonely people to the point where you thought, this would be a good program?
Well, my TBI when it happened when I was 16. And
okay, let's stop you right there. Okay. Let's talk about that because that's the second time you brought that up. Yeah. I remember this because Chad and I have family friends, mutual family friends. You were a really good athlete in high school. Mm-hmm. You were a good student. You come from in Marinette, there are a lot of Frankers are synonymous with being good athletes. And you were one of those. You had a traumatic brain injury when you were snowmobiling, correct? Yes. All right. So talk about that, how that affected you and changed your whole life.
Well, okay. So I was January 28th of 2004. I was hit by a truck and I was put into a drug-induced coma for 6 weeks and spent 120 days in the hospital.
Wow.
As an inpatient. But the battle doesn't end there. I went all, like, my whole high school career. I was still doing physical therapy, occupational therapy. And, I mean, to this very day, I still bust my butt every day doing
you
something.
Do.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I went to spin class today at the Y.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and
I just want to say, all right, I want to say, too, for those of you listening, I don't know Chad that well, but I see him around town, and I see him substitute teaching, and you went, like you said before, and you got your degree in psychology. Like, this did not, you're just tenacious. Like, yeah, you have a zest for life. Yes. I see how hard you work at the gym. And now, when I saw you in the grocery store and you told me about this new business, I thought, this is great. We have to talk about this. So have you, because of your accident, experienced loneliness? Did that change your life, as you said?
Because I have a physical disability. My left side is partially paralyzed. And when I say partially paralyzed, it's like I can move it, but I don't have fine dexterity movement.
Okay.
And so I'm still recovering, but I mean, it's been 21 years. So being a popular kid and then like the whole stages of like that honeymoon phase of the accident, people were all wanting to interact with me and stuff. That was like my whole high school. And then when the day after graduation and all the parties ended, where was Chad's friends? They were nowhere.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, so yeah, I went to college and still nothing happened. No new. I mean, there have been a few, I mean, so don't get that. Don't misconstrue that idea. I mean, I mean, like you said, Mike Corwin, he's fantastic and like unique people who see past my inability are people who help me help them.
Right.
Yes. I mean, yeah.
So I think that's great. So what you want to do, my guest, by the way, is Chad Franker. He has a new business called Meals with a Friend. It's a great business that will provide wellness checks and emotional support to lonely people. He has dealt with loneliness in his own life and came away wanting to help others. And I think that's so great. He says loneliness affects people cardiovascularly and neurologically. People who are lonely enough, it can have the same effect, according to a study at University of Michigan, as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. How close are you to launching this? Does it take a lot of money to start a business like this, Chad?
I mean, with the lawyer fees and stuff, yes.
Because other insurance things, if you're going to go into someone's home.
And an LLC and stuff. And to get everything, you have to get a lot of volunteers.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I'm at right now. So, and you have to get a functional website.
Okay.
And I don't have either of them.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
But I have like a makeup of that. Like,
okay.
So I have ideas and a start, but not like a functional website.
Okay.
Or
how are you? Do you have people helping? Like, are you business savvy? I'm not. I've tried to create businesses in the past. I haven't been very good at it. How are you with those skills? You got a nice packet here. Yeah. I mean, you got a lot of great information. You obviously know what you're doing.
Well, I know I'm very resourceful, so
okay.
I know, and I'm not lazy, so
right.
I know what to do. I know how to get things done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when do you think this will be up? And what if people, if they want to volunteer or if they want to help you get the business up and running, how can they find you?
Well, they can search on Facebook, Meals with a Friend.
Okay.
Meals with a Friend.
Meals with a Friend. Okay. Yes. On Facebook.
Yep.
It helps, you're hoping to build stronger communities.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. And you're hoping to do it one meal at a time. I love that. And, breaking bread together is like the foundation of community in a lot of ways, right? You talk, it's social. So how can, if people wanted to volunteer, I assume when you go to people and you ask them for money or help or setting up the LLC or whatever it is, you want to tell them, hey, I've got so many people here. I've got 100 volunteers ready to do this. Mm-hmm. Is that something they can sign up for on Facebook?
Totally. Okay. And that's what I want to do with my, get a website, a functional website that can maintain that load and keep the data of like the clients and because we're dealing with humans.
Yeah.
So they have like everyone, they have wants and they have things that they don't want. And so keeping track of that all would be anyone who has like experience with that would be very helpful talking in.
Okay.
Yep.
So if I told you, I expect this business to be operational in 3 months and we set a date for you to come back on the show and say, Pete, my business is a go.
Yes.
Thank you for cracking the whip.
Yep.
Not that you need it, but would that help? I mean, are there people in Marinette that are helping you with this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Like Tim Stouse and I meet with a philanthropist at a company that Mr. Tom Baraboo set me up with.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Okay. So I mean there's
Tim Stouse has got a ton of money. We should encourage him just to give you a blank check, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So if he's listening.
Yeah, he should be. But I mean
here's what we'll do, Conrad. Let's do this. We can do our part, I think, tomorrow night on the show. We do a question every night.
Yeah.
Maybe our question tomorrow night should be, what person would you want to have a meal with?
Yeah.
What lonely person in your life? Or even if you see someone on TV that you think is lonely. I think that could be a great... Who have you done this? I assume you've done this on your own just to get it going. Have you met with other people who you could see are lonely? And how did that go over?
Well, I met with my... I met with clients and
you seem like you didn't want to say someone's name because you didn't want to.
Yeah, okay, yeah,
it's totally HIPAA fine
and stuff. So,
sure, okay.
So, they love it. I mean,
nice.
I mean, they were born in the late like in the Depression and stuff.
Oh wow.
So they're not really aware of their. I don't know. I mean,
it's a different generation, right?
Different
like they're
generation.
Not going to ask for help. They're just going to sit there and be lonely as opposed to, because they associate that with toughness. Yeah, probably
they don't know how to help themselves.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's,
what if I go in to have dinner with a friend, a meal with a friend, and they just start yelling at me?
Well, then
what do I do?
You
throw the mashed potatoes at them or
no,
what?
No, you can leave. I mean, this is all volunteer based.
Yeah. Okay.
And then because hopefully both will be civil enough to realize that we are gonna need something to do.
Right.
Yep.
I'm totally kidding anyway. You know I wouldn't do that. And sign me up. All right, we're gonna be right back. We've got a couple more minutes. Chad's gonna help us close the show down. We'll read some text. And we'll do that in just a couple minutes. It's so great to have you with me on this Monday night on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
If you've thought about contributing to a Roth IRA, but you made too much money during your working years, you can have a second chance through a Roth conversion. As you may know, a Roth IRA provides tax-free withdrawals, provided you've had the account at least 5 years and you're at least 59 and a half. A Roth's income limits may have kept you from contributing. However, you can convert your traditional IRA to a Roth. It's not hard to do, but there's a catch. You'll have to pay taxes on the pre-tax dollars you convert. See your tax advisor before making a conversion. If it's appropriate for your situation, you may find that owning a Roth IRA can benefit you and your family for years. This is Clay Kanoke with Edward Jones in Wisconsin Rapids at 715-421-0958.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
All right, welcome back. Doesn't feel like a Monday, does it, Conrad?
I mean, yeah, it feels nice because it was warm outside, so it doesn't feel like a trapped Monday.
It's not as sucky as the usual Monday, yeah. I guess. Is
not a cold Monday.
I'm saying, exactly. Chad Franker is here. He has a new business called Meals with a Friend. It's just a great idea to help combat loneliness, build community, do wellness checks, emotional support for people who need it. He has a website called Meals with a Friend on Facebook. Check that out. If you're interested in helping Chad in any way, being a volunteer, writing a blank check, whatever, find him on Facebook and reach out to him, because this is just a phenomenal idea. And we've set a date. We're going to do this. Probably in about 3 months, we'll have you back. And I will expect your business to be up and running and you to be the CEO.
Well, I'm already the CEO.
You're already the CEO. Yeah, and exactly. How is your, are you, like, you're such a social guy. Would you consider yourself a lonely person right now, Chad, or?
Well, before I started this business, yes.
Okay.
I mean, I did my normal routine. I saw people, like, working out and stuff, but I still felt lonely.
Yeah.
I went home to my apartment. Who was there to greet me?
So that's
what I'm. I feel like I'm helping combat.
Right.
Giving something for other people to look forward to.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's so amazing because, like, you come from a good family. You know, you're loved and you have a family around you, extended and immediate. But still, you can't be around your family all the time. Just like most people can't. And a lot of people probably are going home to an empty apartment. Or an empty house. So, and I'll say even, like, I knew who you were, but I didn't think you knew who I was. So, like, I'd see you at the gym and I'd nod if I saw you, but I didn't know if you even knew who I was. So I didn't want to be that guy that just walks around saying hi to everybody when I probably should be, right? Yeah. Because you're okay. All right, Chad. So what I do with most people who come on the show, I try to find out what they're watching. Where do you find entertainment? This is an entertainment-based show. You said you don't watch a lot of TV.
Nope.
Movies? Do you ever watch movies?
Podcasts.
Okay, what are you listening to?
Well, the Huberman Lab podcast.
What is it?
The Huberman Lab
podcast. Huberman Lab podcast. Yes. Who's that?
Andrew Huberman.
Right, and is here. It a comedy podcast?
No, it's all right here. So,
oh, okay.
So,
what kind of topics does he tackle? How to enhance your immune system?
Yeah, and he's a doctor. And
dude, does that get boring after a while?
No, I mean, it does a little bit. But...
I mean, we all need a good immune system, but I would think after like an hour of that, you might want to.
And his episodes are like three hours long, and I just listen to him when I go down to Green Bay or on my drives.
Okay. How often do you come down here to Green Bay? You're not in school anymore, so.
No, but quite a bit because I'm for my doctors, and so, I mean, every couple of weeks.
Okay. So you were, as I mentioned earlier, you were a good athlete, and you played sports. Like a lot of kids in Marinette, you probably played like four sports in 1 year. Are you still a sports fan? Do you follow sports?
Yes. Okay. Hockey. For sure, because that was my best sport.
Really?
Yep. And side note, I was better than my brother, so there's a little caveat there.
And your older brother?
Yep.
That's Ryan.
Yes.
Okay.
And
would he say the same thing?
No. It's a little feud that we have between each other, but
that's cute. Yeah.
And I mean, football, baseball, and hockey is what I played.
Okay. And you still follow sports? Like, are you a Packers, Bucks, Brewers, all those teams?
Yeah.
Badgers?
Yeah,
okay.
Yep, yep.
What's your favorite team, would you say?
Probably Brewers.
Okay. So I'm going to give you, I think, I just saw the movie Green and Gold about a guy who bets the farm. He literally bets his own farm that the Packers will win the Super Bowl and hopes that the bank will let him keep it because he doesn't have any more money. So I think you should check that out.
The Ice Bowl, right?
It was not the Ice Bowl. It was like in the 90s. It was when Favre was quarterback.
Okay.
So it's not that old. But I think you should check it out when you come back on to talk about Meals with a Friend. We can talk about that movie. Because I know you're a Packer fan.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Yes. And I actually have a Brett Favre signed football.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I actually have, like, during my accident, I saw the inside Lambeau Stadium. Like,
like a tour?
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
nice.
But, like, in deep from Red Batty. He was the Packers athletic trainer at that time.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Was he helping you with through your injuries or whatever?
No, he...
Okay.
Because it was Mark Husen who was a trainer at there and stuff.
Is Mark Husen, isn't he the guy that's on with Mino and the mayor?
Yeah,
he was at the party the other day.
He was?
So do you know Mark?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. We should get Mark on the show, by the way. I don't think he liked me personally, but I'd still like to invite him on.
Sounds good.
He was really avoiding me at the party. Did you notice that?
It was that look you had in your face.
Chad, thank you so much for coming down. You drove all the way down here to be on the show. I really appreciate that. I wish you luck with this business. I think it's great. I think it's just a beautiful idea, and I hope you're incredibly successful with it.
Thank you very much,
Pete. You're welcome. Yeah. All right, that's Chad Franker. Check out Meals with a Friend on Facebook. You can sign up, volunteer to have meals with another person who might be lonely, or help Chad out business-wise if you have business skills. Or a blank check or whatever. But he's a great guy, and good luck with the business. I'd also like to thank Mariah Gates, who, go ahead. You got about 15 seconds.
I have a website too, mealswithafriend.com.
Mealswithafriend.com.
Yes.
Okay.
And because it's a startup website. So, okay. I mean, it's in the process of getting going.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you want a picture of me for the website, Chad?
Always.
All right, very good. Thank you also for all your texts and all the talk about chips. You can't go wrong with that. Tomorrow night, it's Tuesday, but it won't feel like a Tuesday if you join us. I promise that. It's Peach Wobble with Nightlight on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin. Don't take me a turn of time. It don't weigh no goodbye. Oh,
you're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
Superintendent Brittany Kinzer is endorsed by Moms for Liberty. What threats are posed to your kids' education by the candidate for the superintendency? We discuss with Dan Schaefer at 2:30.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is why I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President Trump backs Elon Musk over Musk's threat to fire federal workers if they don't respond to his email demanding they account for their workflow. Everett Kelly with the American Federation of Government Employees.
The members are very confused. This is a very chaotic situation. You know, they've never experienced anything like this before.
The government's personnel office now says federal agencies can choose to ignore Musk's message. And CBS's Major Garrett adds,
President Trump, so far, doesn't want any space between him and Elon Musk, probably because he wants Elon Musk to get as far as he can, take whatever political backlash comes to him, not necessarily to President Trump, and shrink the size of the federal workforce to the best he can.
There are a growing number of protests nationwide as people speak out against the actions of President Trump and Elon Musk.
I'm really thrilled that people came out today because we're really in a constitutional crisis. We really have to take the power.